The remote hearing of the Capital Investment Committee for March 22nd is called to order. This remote hearing is taking place in accordance to House Rule 10.01 and is being live streamed by the House Public Information Office. Mr. Lincheski, please take the roll.
Members, you may unmute yourself when your name is called. Representative Fooley.
Lee, present.
Representative Fooley, present. Representative Mary Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Representative Mary Murphy, present. Representative Dean Erdahl.
Erdahl, present.
Representative Dean Erdahl, present. Representative Esther Abaje.
Present.
Representative Esther Abaje, present. Representative Kayla Berg. Representative Greg Davids.
Davids, present.
Representative Davids, present. Representative Keith Franke.
Frankie, present.
Representative Keith Franke, present. Representative Mike Freiberg.
Present.
Representative Mike Freiberg, present. Representative Rick Hansen.
Rick Hansen, present.
Representative Rick Hansen, present. Representative John Hewitt.
Present.
Representative John Hewitt, present. Representative Leon Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Representative Leon Lilly, present. Representative Eric Lucero.
Happy Monday morning, I guess.
Representative Eric Lucero, present. Representative Rena Moran.
Present.
Representative Rena Moran, present. Representative Nels Pearson.
Pearson, present.
Representative Nels Pearson, present. Representative Donald Raleigh.
Raleigh, present.
Representative Donald Raleigh, present. Representative Jordan Rasmussen.
Rasmussen, present.
Representative Jordan Rasmussen, present. Representative Liz Ryer.
Ryer, present.
Representative Liz Ryer, present. Representative Nolan West.
West, present.
Representative Nolan West, present. Representative Jay Zhang. Representative Kayla Berg.
Present.
Representative Kayla Berg, present. Representative Jay Zhang. Members, with conclusion of the roll call, please mute your devices. A quorum is present.
Thank you, Mr. Lincheski. A quorum is present. Representative Murphy, can I have approval of the minutes for March 18th?
I move approval of the minutes for March 18th as printed.
Representative Murphy moves approval of the minutes for March 18th. Any discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes for March 18th are approved. Members, before we get started with presentations on GEO transportation bonding bills today, I've asked our fiscal analyst, Mr. Andrew Lee, to provide a brief overview of the trunk highway funds. Bonds, THB, are backed by the trunk highway fund, unlike traditional GEO bonds, backed by the full faith and credit of the state. Mr. Lee will explain in more detail, but since we only have 5 minutes dedicated for this, I would encourage all of you to connect with Mr. Lee after this if you have further questions. Please proceed, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I am bringing up share screen right now. So this, and this is also in members' packets too, so if you want, I won't go through point by point, but if you want more detail, you can read this and ask me questions. This is a summary of the different type of transportation projects and jurisdictions as roads, transit, and other transportation items. Within roads, there is a hierarchy and different jurisdictions of who owns and maintains roads. As the chair was mentioned earlier, the trunk highway system or the state-owned roads include interstate highways, U.S. highways, and Minnesota trunk highways. They're all considered trunk highways, but it's the blue and yellow shield with the Minnesota at the top of it. Those three types of roads all are state trunk highways. And in the state constitution, there is a separate article relating to the financing of those. from the dedicated transportation taxes, the gas tax, the registration tax or tab fees, and the motor vehicle sales tax. And there's a few other smaller items as well. But the Constitution lays out that those funds are specific to, and a separate bonding authority for those are for trunk highways. And there's also, in addition to those highways, there's also roads that are under state or under local jurisdiction, either counties or cities. So in the next boxes on the spreadsheet, you can see examples of county road shields and also municipally owned roads. In the transportation bill, part of those constitutionally dedicated funds also have amounts that go to those local road systems. But the distinction in bonding is that trunk highway bonds typically can only be used for trunk highway purposes or state road purposes, and GO bonding is used for local road purposes. And there's, I could get into more detail, there's a bond council memo on this, but just to sort of briefly go over the highlights there. It can, of course, get pretty complicated when there are interchange projects or projects that require both local road and trunk highway construction. But just to kind of give you the primer that there are different road jurisdiction types, and that can make things a little complicated in both the capital investment and transportation worlds. Then also on the start, I list out the kind of the committee jurisdictions in both transportation and capital investment for the roads, but also transit and some of the other items like ports, aviation, railroads, and bike and ped. And you can look in more detail on the sheet. But that's a quick 5-minute presentation on different transportation jurisdictions. I hope that's helpful and what you wanted to cover. So.
Thank you, Mr. Lee, for that presentation. Again, members, I encourage you all to reach out to Mr. Lee if you have further questions. Now we will start hearing bills on our agenda on an informational basis only. Each bill author has been allotted 5 minutes and one testifier for your presentation. I really encourage all of you to keep within the 5 minutes. I will have to really move the cutoff if we go beyond 5 minutes so that we could include all of the presentation today. First up, we have Chair Pinto, House File 1618. Please proceed, Chair Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. House File 1618 takes the next step forward in the Riverview Corridor, which is an important step on our transit and transportation, not only for the region, but really for the state. I'm joined by Commissioner Rafael Ortega, my commissioner of the Rampart County Board, and would like to turn things to him to describe the project. And I'll have a couple of remarks, and then we'll wrap things up, if I can, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Ortega, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, I am Rafael Ortega, Ramsey County Commissioner for District 5. The Riverview Corridor completes the missing leg of the transit triangle, linking the Green Line in downtown St. Paul and the Blue Line at Fort Snelling. The Riverview Corridor enhances mobility and accessibility to residents, businesses, and workers, and will improve access to jobs, education, and health care. The population to be served by the Riverview Corridor is heavily dependent on transit. Currently, 14% of the households in the corridor do not have a car, and 42% of the households only have one car. Funding this major transit investment will expand access to the range of opportunities available in the metropolitan area. Currently, there are 175,000 jobs along this corridor, and employment is projected to grow to 200,000 jobs by 2040. Of the 133,000 people who live in the corridor, 16% of those folks are at or below the federal poverty level, which is higher than Ramsey, Hennepin County, and the region. Improving resident access to jobs will be a key piece to support increased economic mobility. State bond funds will be used to continue to advance the project through the FTA process. A large piece of this work relates to our continued engagement of our residents, businesses, tribal, and community partners. as we work to advance the Riverview project that effectively serves a broad range of diverse community needs. In the interest of time, I submit and thank you for your consideration of House File 1618. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Ortega. Chair Pinto, do you have any closing comments?
I do, Mr. Chair. I want to direct the attention of members to there's a two-pager that's on the committee's website, members of the public as well, that has a map and a lot of information to confirm this is a project that connects downtown St. Paul with the Mall of America and with the airport in between. So it's quite important. I just want to highlight for members as well, Mr. Chair, that the portion of my district that the project passes through is a portion that has a particularly high concentration of lower-income families, of families of color, of a lot of new Minnesotans. As the commissioner said, we've got a lot of folks who are heavily transit dependent, and this is something that in that area we have actually a state highway that's passing right through. And so there's a lot that is kind of waiting on this project moving forward to really improve livability for the folks in that community and beyond. And so this is a very important project and would urge you, Mr. Chair, and members of this committee to give this a great consideration and support. Thank you so much for the time this morning.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Next up is Representative Thompson's House File 2015. Please proceed, Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson, you're on mute right now.
I was just speaking on behalf of Representative Jay Zhang. He's not available today. He's as a sick family member, so I just wanted to make sure that the body knew that. You hear me? Can you hear me, Chairley?
We can hear you. Yep, please proceed.
And this is, I want to introduce House File 2015, appropriating money for the Rush Line bus transit project through the sale of issuance of state bonds. Also think projects like the Rush Line as an investment in our future generations of Minnesotans, our children, grandchildren. Generations that will follow. I mean, the Rush Line will help create an equitable, sustainable region and state where all communities have access to economic opportunity, including those in our state who have been long, long, long marginalized. When we lift up these Minnesotans, we lift up our whole state. So to share more about this legislation, Chair and members, I'd like to introduce our Ramsey County Commissioner, Victoria Reinhardt, who serves as the chair over the Rush Line Corridor Task Force.
Commissioner Reinhardt, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you and good morning. I'm Victoria Reinhardt. I'm a Ramsey County Commissioner and I serve as chair of the Rush Line Corridor Task Force. Ramsey County is requesting $2.5 million in state bond funds to be appropriated to the Metropolitan Council for a grant to Ramsey County Regional Railroad Authority for pre-design and design, including environmental work, of the Rush Line Corridor Transitway from the Union Depot in St. Paul to White Bear Lake. The Rush Line will improve access to jobs, healthcare, education, and other resources by adding a new and equitable transportation option for residents in the corridor where over 18% of households do not have access to a car. There are more than 100,000 jobs and 50 hospitals and medical clinics within a 10-minute walk of the 21 proposed bus rapid transit stations. I want to repeat that, 100,000 jobs and 50 hospitals and medical clinics along this line. The Rush Line will provide a low-carbon transportation option and plans to operate service with fully electric buses that are quieter than traditional buses and produce no tailpipe emissions. The project also includes a thoughtful redesign of the Bruce Bento Regional Trail that will improve safety and add native plantings to a corridor where many residents walk and bike. Communities along the Rush Line are planning for a mix of businesses, public spaces, and housing within a short distance of Rush Line stations. This includes affordable housing, more of which is desperately needed in our region and statewide. State bond funds will be used to match county funds to support further design work to complete the engineering phase and mitigate any potential impacts prior to construction without schedule delays. Rushline will have a statewide as well as a regional benefit by spurring economic development, reducing vehicle miles traveled and wear and tear on highways, and increasing overall economic competitiveness. During the construction phase alone, the project is expected to expand employment by over 4,000 jobs a year. State bond funds will reduce the demand for local transportation revenue sources such as county property taxes and sales tax, and will help leverage additional federal funding for the project. Thank you for your consideration of House File 2015.
Thank you, Commissioner Reinhart. Representative Thompson, do you have any closing comments? You're on mute right now, Representative Thompson.
Monday morning. Yo, I just wanted to share, Commissioner Reinhart has worked tirelessly for years to promote a more equitable, sustainable future and bring reliable, high-quality transportation to Ramsey County. And so I admire her commitment to this work, Chair. This is actually a very good project that will definitely bring jobs into much-needed communities. And so I urge and I would hope that you guys would support this House File 2015. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. Next up, we have Representative Agbaje, House File 1759. There is an amendment for reference coded H1759A1. Please proceed, Representative Agbaje.
Thank you so much, Chair Lee. Should I go ahead and explain the amendment?
Yes, please.
Great. So thank you, Chair and members. Just briefly, the amendment that is proposed is meant to clarify that the funding will be dispersed for the first part of the project that's meant for pre-design, and then the amendment then clarifies that the construction of the project would not begin until there has been an additional assessment of different public transportation modes along the highway. So I'll just back up a little bit. Basically, the purpose of House File 1759 is to appropriate funds for a transit project that takes into consideration alternate modes of public transportation for this highway corridor. The corridor specified in the project runs along a road marked Highway 252 and Interstate 94 between Brooklyn Park and downtown Minneapolis. And then the other part of the project that's referred to in this bill is the I-94 project that runs from downtown Minneapolis to downtown St. Paul, known as the Rethinking I-94 project. And so with the changes in the amendment, basically this bill really is meant to acknowledge the work that MnDOT has done in engaging community members about the section of the highway and what should be on there, but also really to impress upon them that bus rapid transit is a meaningful way to include public transportation for residents in this area as this project is built up. So with me today, I have a member of the community who will be testifying this morning.
Rocky Williams, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
All right, thank you. My name is Kiara Williams, Rocky's my nickname. I'm from the North Side, born and raised. So as a North Side resident, I'd like to testify in support of this bill. First and most importantly, because I believe there needs to be a thorough planning process in place when it comes to extending or altering any highway in the country. There's a long history of transportation projects destroying and disadvantaging communities of color, as we all know too well, from Rondo to Tremi, which is in New Orleans. And redesigning this highway, we need to prioritize other modes of transportation. Centering cars just won't do. For one, cars are toxic to the climate and the air we breathe. Ooh, Monday. Additionally, not everyone has a car, but everyone needs to get where they're going, right? It's imperative that we're thinking about bike access, walkability, and transit access in these projects. Bus rapid transit in these corridors will make it possible for people to easily and sustainably move around their community. In my experience, people in my community had to wake up early to go to work, tend to their families, go to bed late, and then continue that cycle over and over again until, you know, retirement or death, whichever came first. So when you live North Side and you have to be at work at 8 a.m. in Bloomington, you couldn't sleep night because maybe you got some type of anxiety from, you know, circumstances in your life. I think it would be nice if you had some type of express bus, BRT, going to Bloomington. That might mean an extra 30 minutes of sleep. It might make you not want to quit your job on the 30-minute commute instead of an hour and 15-minute commute. We have to remember we're building for humans with real characters, real obligation, real needs, and real problems. So urban planning was founded in architecture, politics, and sociology before it was its own sector of government. So I think it's only right that we do our best to build safe, inclusive, and progressive transportation infrastructure with the culture of the people in mind. And if the culture is discriminatory, which we know it is our civic duty to pave a new path with a righteous culture in mind. Lastly, Minneapolis has a climate action plan in place. This bill will help us make sure that we're covering all, that all sectors of government are doing their best to give people clean transportation options and preserve and protect the environment. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I greatly encourage your support.
Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to correct the record. The culture is not racist or discriminatory. Individuals are, but that is a fake and false assertion. Thank you.
Representative Baja, any closing comments?
Sure. I would just say that, you know, we do know what the history is of urban planning, particularly in communities of color. We have seen the disruption to neighborhoods. We have seen the over-reliance on cars and the air pollution that tends to sit predominantly on communities of color, affecting their health outcomes. And so I strongly encourage this committee to look at carefully at this bill, and ensure that as we continue to build out bus rapid transit and highway projects, that we're doing it in a way that is environmentally sustainable and supports the transportation needs of this community. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bajay, for those words. Do we have Representative Tu Zhang on? I know the staff had said that Representative Zhang wasn't on yet. Not seeing Representative Zhang. Commissioner, I know that you're here, so you'll have to wait for your bill author. Why don't we go with Representative Olson, House File 684.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for taking the time to hear House File 684. It's a bill to fund repairs to one of the most iconic structures in the state, the Duluth Aerial Lift Bridge. The Aerial Lift Bridge is located in Canal Park and stands at the entrance to Duluth Harbor. It connects Duluth to Minnesota Point, the peninsula that protects the harbor. The original structure spanning the Duluth Ship Canal was first constructed in 1901. It went through a number of modifications until the aerial lift bridge was constructed in 1929 as a more permanent and efficient means to move traffic to and from the Park Point neighborhood while still responding to the ship traffic of the harbor. Now, after all these years and several efforts at repairs, we find the bridge in need of a substantial rehabilitation. Our city engineers have prepared materials that show you the extent of the wear and tear that we now see on the bridge. Materials provided in your committee packet show the need for extensive work to address the damage from rust and corrosion to the lift section of the bridge, the roadway, as well as the sidewalk. Cracking concrete footings and supports are also in need of repair. In addition to the materials prepared by the city, I am pleased to introduce Mayor Emily Larson, who is here to speak to the vital importance of this project for the Duluth and the region. Mr. Chair and members, I want to thank you for your consideration, and I will turn it over to Mayor Emily Larson.
Mayor Larson, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Great. Good morning. My name is Emily Larson. I am mayor of the city of Duluth. Chair Lee, thank you for scheduling House File 684 for a hearing in your committee. And my deep thanks to Representative Liz Olson for authorizing this measure. As Representative Olson said, this bill seeks help in restoring the area lift bridge. Anyone who has been to Duluth, you've probably seen this bridge. Hopefully you've had a chance to get either up close or to be able to cross it. It is stunning and beautiful. It is also functional. It is something that we rely on to relay people back and forth and for our international shipping industry. The lift bridge became the means of crossing the ship canal in Duluth in 1929. The city has kept up with our repairs for the past 90 plus years, and we have received a little bit of help along the way. But as with many other structures, there comes a time when a more extensive rebuild becomes necessary, and that's where we find ourselves today. The deck bridge, concrete supports, rivets, plating, all are in need of attention. Our engineering department has done a thorough analysis to identify needed repairs and to determine overall cost. I know those materials are before you. The city administration, the Duluth City Council, have both identified the aerial lift bridge as the city's number one capital investment priority. Just want to say a few other things. City of Duluth, with the assistance of federal highway bridge funds, federal stimulus funds, state bridge bond funds, we have performed substantial rehabilitative work to the bridge, totaling more than $20 million since 1998. Plenty of details we can provide for you in terms of what is needed, whether it is the pedestrian crossing, whether it is the base. There are many, many repairs, and we are ready to provide any additional information that you may need and to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you so much for hearing me out today, and thank you for your service to the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mayor Larson. Representative Olson, any closing comments?
I just want to say thank you, Chair Lee, and to the committee for your consideration of and support of this urgent need to repair such an iconic and essential infrastructure that serves all of Northeast Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Next up, we have Representative Herr, House File 907. Please proceed, Representative Herr.
Thank you, Chair Lee and committee, for hearing our bill this morning. We appreciate the opportunity to discuss the City of St. Paul's number one bonding project, the eastbound Kellogg River Center Bridge. This morning, I have Mayor Melvin Carter to provide more detailed information about this project, so I will keep my comments very brief. The most important thing is that this is our number one bonding project request. It is an important bridge that is used by Minnesotans from around the state, and we are asking for $10 million in bonding. The city has already started planning and community engagement for this project, and we hope to start bidding for the project in 2022. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to Mayor Carter to provide more details about the bridge.
Mayor Carter, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Representative Herr. Thank you, Chair Lee. My name is Melvin Carter. I'm the mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota, and I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you this morning. First, I want to thank you, Chair Lee, Vice Chair Murphy, and Republican lead Dean Erdahl for your leadership and support of our capital city. We're very grateful for your partnership. I also want to thank Representative Khalid Herr, our chief bill author, and our St. Paul delegation for their support of the city's number one priority, which is the eastbound Kellogg River Center Bridge. The eastbound Kellogg River Center Bridge is 85 years old and needs to be rebuilt. For those who are wondering where this bridge is, it's located right below the Skyway connecting the River Center ramp to the Excel Center. You should have received a one-pager with photos that highlight the location of this bridge. The eastbound Kellogg Bridge has regional significance and impacts the whole state. Each year, it serves as a gateway for more than 7 million visitors because of its central location to our downtown entertainment district with the Minnesota Wild, Excel Energy Center, River Center, the Ordway, Science Museum, and more. Between the Minnesota Wild, Excel Energy, and River Center, there are more than 1,400 events every year in this area. The City of St. Paul is asking for $10 million to help demolish the current single bridge structure and reconstruct a new bridge system with new foundations, bridge supports, concrete deck slabs, and barriers. The total project cost for this bridge is $35.6 million. We currently have $7 million from regional solicitation funding from the federal government, which we're in danger of losing if we cannot obtain state support to start the project. Again, you do have a one-pager outlining the details. So to be clear, this bridge is the city's number one bonding priority. It's been on the City of St. Paul's bonding priority list for 4 years now, and it used to be a part of the River Center ramp bonding ask, but now we're advancing this separately because it's obviously critical infrastructure. The bridge was part of the bonding tours in 2018 and 2019. With me today is also Sean Kershaw, our Director of Public Works, and Brent Christensen, our bridge engineer. They are available for questions. In closing, I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for giving me time to speak about our critical infrastructure needs that will allow our capital city to be a strong economic engine for our region and state. Thank you all for your hard work.
Thank you, Mayor Carter. Representative Murphy, you're on mute right now, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, would you give the number of the bill again, please?
Representative Herr's bill is House File 971.
Thank you.
Do you have any further questions, Representative Murphy?
No,
Okay. Closing comments, Representative Herr.
No, just thank you for your time this morning. I know you have a packed schedule, so we appreciate your consideration for our bonding request.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Next up, we have Representative Cleavorn, House File 1086. Please proceed, Representative Cleavorn.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here this morning to ask for your support for the County Road 47 bonding request, House File 1086. I'll mention briefly that there is an A1 in the packet correcting the name of the roadway on line 1.6. This is the County Road 47 bonding project. This roadway was designed in 1920 as a farm equipment roadway. Today it is heavily traveled, serving residents of Plymouth, Maple Grove, Corcoran, and Medina. County Road 47 is currently a pedestrian motorist public safety hazard. In your packet today, you will find a two-page informational handout with the full project review for your consideration. With me today to speak to the project is Mayor Jeff Washey. Also with us is Public Works Director Michael Thompson, should you have technical questions. Chair Lee, with that, I'll ask that you please recognize Mayor Washey. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Mayor Washey, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Jeff Washey. I'm the Mayor of Plymouth. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to testify. As Representative Cleavorn said, County Road 47 is a four-mile stretch of roadway in northern Plymouth. It was developed, I believe, 50 to 60 years ago, and it was primarily just a transitway for farm equipment. It contains steep hills, sharp curves, and it was never intended by its design to be able to handle the kind of traffic as development has happened. And we've heard the density we do in Plymouth to accommodate that level of traffic. This is a county road, but Plymouth and the county are in discussions to turn back this roadway to the city. This road was originally built to transport farm equipment, and as I said, it's not made for today's traffic. There's also no availability for pedestrians and bicycles to access this roadway and travel safely. The section of Plymouth is where Plymouth has seen significant growth of diversity also. In our community, Plymouth Ridge is an elementary school located right on County Road 47 and represents the diversity of population that we've seen pop up in Northwest Plymouth. Half the students in that school are BIPOC, and that just reflects that surrounding community of what is settled there. This is also a corridor which has affordable housing with Vicksburg Commons operated by Common Bond and Westview Estates operated by the Sands Company. And then along with that, there's senior housing and also existing NOAA homes that also are served by this corridor. This project is planned to create multimodal transportation, creating safe pedestrian and bicycle usage along the road, which was the number one concern of residents living in this corridor. The project will also mitigate drainage ditch flooding, improve stormwater quality, and with the more intense rainfall events, new design would ensure resiliency to the changing climate conditions. I would also state that this is Plymouth's number one legislative bonding priority. And I invite you also, when you do your bonding tour, to come and see this corridor for yourselves just to see the condition it's in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Washey. Representative Cleavorn, any closing comments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like the members of the committee to know that it is just a matter of time before a child will be killed on this roadway. It is heavily, heavily traveled, and with the school on one side and the community living and residences on the other side of this major roadway, it is a disaster waiting to happen. Already we have 10 to 20 crashes per year on that roadway. And so I ask you to work with us to protect the community, pedestrians, and the motorists. Thank you very much for your time and your consideration today.
Thank you, Representative Cleavorn. Next up, we have Representative Cago, House File 1380. Please proceed, Representative Cago. Representative Cago, we can hear you. Can you speak again, Representative Cago?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes. Yeah. Please proceed.
Thank you. Highway 65, House File 1380 is a bond request for Highway 65 along 99th Avenue and also, well, basically the whole stretch. And so anybody who knows me knows that Highway 65 is a project that I've been pushing since I first started here at the Capitol. And the traffic on Highway 65, there's as many cars travel Highway 65 as there's 35. But imagine sitting on 35 with a stoplight every about half a mile. So that's what we're dealing with up here in the North Metro. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifiers.
Welcome back to the legislature. Mayor Sanders, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim Sanders, Mayor of Blaine. I want to thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for your time today. So good to see so many of my old colleagues. A big thank you to Representative Cagle for the heavy lift of authoring this bill and for Representative West for his relentless advocacy on this issue as well. Highway 65 is the most critical issue we face here in the North Metro. It's not just a Blaine issue. This is a regional issue, a state issue. We have many, many cities and counties that are greatly affected by the congestion, the traffic, the inadequacies of Highway 65. And now, as well, we host really the most visited state asset, the National Sports Center, as well in Blaine, with over a million visitors every year. And it is Highway 65 is a barrier. Not only in that, but Highway 65 is also a barrier in our own city. It is a straight line north and south right through the center of our city. It divides Blaine east and west. It divides us economically. It is a big issue. We're looking to tear down that barrier, and we're looking for a safer, more efficient roadway. As Representative Cagle mentioned, imagine as well the frustration and just even the environmental harm of sitting on Highway 65 for 40 minutes, as many vehicles as Highway 35W, but with stop signs or stop lights rather, every and sometimes quarter of a mile, three quarters of a mile, less than a mile. It is a massive, massive issue in our community, in our region as well. So we're just looking for your help and your support. We have done a tremendous amount of lifting as well in this city. Our Director of Public Works, John Hawkins, has done a great job. We have secured many grants. We're, again, applying for an infra grant and have support from many different members of Congress as well, Representative Omar, Representative Emmer. And so really, this is something that is nonpartisan. It's bipartisan, but it's such a tremendous issue. We're looking for your help today to improve not only our community, but our region and our state, and tear down the barriers and inadequacies that Highway 65 present. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor Sanders. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one thing I want to thank you, Chair Lee, for hearing two Highway 65 bills with my correction earlier and Representative Cagle's bill here. This is something that we really appreciate up in Blaine because it is a huge issue for us. And the one other statistic I want to lay out is of the 31 critical infrastructure intersections in the metro area, 11 of those are on a 1.5-mile stretch of Highway 65, which is what we're looking at here. And this is a huge deal for us up here. And Representative Cagle and I have been, like, laser-focused on this. And it's been bipartisan the whole way, and I'm hopeful we can continue that work going forward because it is desperately needed. But thank you so much for hearing the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative West. Representative Erdahl.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I'm well acquainted with this project. I've toured it on past bonding trips. I agree that it's an important project to try to get done. I'd like to welcome Mayor Sanders, and just correct him a little bit. He has no old colleagues. He only has former colleagues. Thank you.
Representative Cagle, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just wanted to also mention last biennium, we, the transportation team, traveled up to Blaine to do a hearing at Blaine City Council. And it's also a barrier to businesses. Businesses are not locating in our area because of the traffic issues that we face up here. So this would be just a huge, huge improvement to our communities. And so I really thank you for hearing this bill.
Thank you, Representative Cago. Next up, we have Representative Zhang T, House File 1798.
Thank you, Chair and members. I just want to look at House File 1798. It's for the Washington County Bridge over I-694. And I have with me Washington County Commissioner and former Mayor Stan Karwarski with me, and he'll talk a bit more about our needs for the bridge in Oakdale.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Commissioner Karwarski, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Stan Karwarski, Washington County Commissioner, District 2, which is the western boundary of Washington County. Thank you for having me this morning to talk about HF 1798. With the combination of state, county, and federal funds, the 4th Street Bridge would be reconstructed and improved in conjunction with the Gold Line Bus Rapid Transit Project. This $3.5 million bonding request is for the general purpose automobile use and pedestrian bicycle lanes only. The federal funds would be used to construct a bus rapid transit lanes. This design, as shown in the handout, would extend the uninterrupted BRT guideway. The reconstructed bridge will provide a crucial walking and biking connection where one does not exist today. And you can see how dangerous it is by the handout with the low rail. Improved multimodal connections within Oakdale would be achieved, along with the future Gold Line project, will help leverage the planned investments on land that is open and available for commercial and industrial growth in the immediate area on both sides of the bridge. It will also ease the burden of freeway barriers on this in the Oakdale neighborhood over I-694, and the bridge is near I-94. The updated 4th Street Bridge and the Gold Line BRT will increase access to jobs, education, recreation for low-income communities in the immediate area and the region. This project is also supported by the cities and counties along the line, as well as the Gold Line Partners Group, which includes businesses and community leaders who have worked together on the Gold Line project for many, many years. Together, we believe these improvements to the 4th Street Bridge are important to guiding strong connections in our community and also a strong economy. We urge your support for this funding request. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Commissioner Karwarski. Representative Zhang, any closing comments?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Lee, and I would just urge everyone's support. You know, we have kids that are waiting for school buses near there. As you can see, the bridge is too narrow, and this investment will go greatly to help support the needs for the city of Oakdale, for kids like myself that once lived in Maplewood, that goes to school, that uses the school buses there. And it's a really good investment. And I would just like to thank you all.
Thank you, Representative Zhang. Next up, we have Chair Stevenson, House File 1472. Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Sorry, you caught me a little off guard there, but I'm all set to go. This bill relates to Highway 10 up in the North Metro, a critical corridor linking the Twin Cities with parts north and west. I think that members are often surprised when we talk about Highway 10 just how much traffic actually goes on Highway 10, and so it's important for people to realize that Highway 10 actually carries more vehicles on a daily basis than 35W in the during commuting hours. It's a critical corridor. And just outside of the 694 Beltway, just a little further north, you run into stoplights still on Highway 10, which is both a traffic impediment and a safety concern. Now, Anoka County, the state, local municipalities have been working hard to improve the traffic flow on Highway 10 for many years, And we've been successful in getting funding together to eliminate a couple of stoplights, but there are two more pesky stoplights we want to get out of the way so we have a good corridor through the northwest suburbs towards Elk River. And this packet, this bill provides needed funding in order to accomplish that. It's the Ramsey Gateway Project. It will remove the last two stoplights in Ramsey as we move north towards Elk River. We have received ample federal funding as part of this package, thanks to the efforts of our federal delegation. So we are of a total of over $100 million project. We are only $46 million away from being able to put shovels in the ground. So the bill before the committee asked for $12 million, but again, the total cost is $46 million. I do have a testifier here today, Mr. Chair, Joe McPherson, the engineer for Anoka County.
Mr. McPherson, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Joe McPherson. I'm the Transportation Division Manager and County Engineer for Anoka County. Representative Stevenson did a great job of introducing this project. As he mentioned, these are the last two signals on the Highway 10 corridor in the city of Ramsey, and it truly does have a regional impact. I'm just going to pull up on the screen here quick a copy of the layout where we're at today. And this is, hopefully everyone can see this. This has truly been an inclusive process. Representative Stevenson did a great job of laying out where we're at funding-wise and stuff. I just want to give you a quick little history of where this has come from. So over the last two decades, we've been looking at this corridor and trying to figure out solutions that work for the businesses, the industry, the residents that live and thrive along this corridor. As you can see on the screen, the BNSF Railway parallels this corridor, which adds another point of complexity to this project. We are working closely with BNSF and our partners at MnDOT, the City of Ramsey, Met Council to come up with a plan here where we're grade separating the railway to improve safety there. We're grade separating the at-grade signalized intersections to improve safety along the corridor. There's been a number of pedestrian fatalities as well as auto fatalities along this corridor. So we've been doing this over the last two decades. Originally in 2009, the price tag in 2007 dollars was just over $200 million. So if you inflate that to today's dollars, it's nearly $300 million. We have shaved the cost down and we've made the necessary changes so that we're impacting far less properties. We were impacting over 150 properties. 100 of them were low income properties. We are now completely avoiding that area and we've reduced our property impacts down to between 10 to 14. And that $300 million price tag is now down to $138 million. So a lot of effort has gone into this. It's truly been an inclusive process. And so with that, I just continue to ask for your support. I want to thank all those that have been so supportive in this project. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Chair Stevenson, any closing comments?
I would ask the committee for support. As I mentioned, this is more traffic on this road than on 35W. Can you imagine what would be going on right now if there were stoplights on 35W just north of the Twin Cities? Totally unacceptable. It's unacceptable here. I hope for the committee's support and thank the chair.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. Next up, we have Representative Franson, House File 1477.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm running kids to dental appointments this morning. So anyway, thank you for your time today. I am excited to present this bill regarding a new culvert. Most bills are more exciting than this, but it is very needed in my community. I'm going to yield my time, Mr. Chair, to Craig Luth, President of Lake Geneva Association, to discuss why we are requesting funding for a culvert.
Sir Lewis, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Representative Franson, and as well as the chair and the members for the opportunity to testify regarding Bill HF 1477. My name is Craig Lewis. I reside in Lake Geneva in Alexandria, Minnesota for over 25 years. Additionally, I'm the president of the Lake Geneva Area Association. Lake Geneva, by the way, as some background, is on the Alexandria chain of lakes that consists of five lakes, i.e. Lake Geneva, Lake Lahamadou, Lake Carlos, Lake Darling, and Lake Victoria. These lakes chain together through channels or also commonly known as box culverts. The channel which we're discussing today, which goes between Lake Geneva and Lahamadu and goes underneath Highway 29 north of Alexandria, Minnesota, is very restrictive and was constructed in 1956. As you can imagine, over 64 years, significant changes have occurred. Chain population has increased, increased boat size has been significant, new restaurants, erosion, water level fluctuation, increased tourist and recreational visitor activity is significant, not to mention fishing tournaments that occur on a regular basis. Boater safety and water damage has become a major issue through this particular channel or box culvert. Boats getting stuck, wedged, boats meeting in the channel because the visibility is impaired, and clearly it's dangerous for passengers as they navigate through this particular channel because it is so, the height is quite restrictive. Boat dynamics have changed over the past several decades. We referenced Grandpa's Red Fishing Lung Boat. They still exist. However, they've been replaced by pontoon boats, personal watercraft, wakeboard boats, and classic wooden boats. As a result of the numerous changes over the past 64 years, navigation and access through the Lake Geneva-Lahamadu Highway 29 channel is extremely limited and, quite frankly, dangerous. To put this in perspective, the channel between Lake Carlos and Lahamadu is twice the size of the channel box culvert between Geneva and Lahamadu. I've submitted a photo, but I don't believe I have the cape. Oh, Jenny, thank you. This will put things in perspective in terms of a channel comparison. The channel on the left, you're looking at a train trestle. Please disregard that. Underneath that is, in fact, the channel that we're talking about between Geneva and Lahamadu. And the comparison is, once again, the channel that resides between Lahamadu and Carlos. So there's a significant difference, and hopefully this puts things in perspective for you. In terms of homeowner and commercial impact, we think it adds significant value. There's 1,587 homeowners that reside on the chain. There's 12 resorts, 3 Bible camps, 3 major restaurants, Carlos State Park, and above all, we believe the value to the Alexandria community further improving accessibility, safe navigation, enjoyment, and experience, one of our greatest resources, will provide a significant improvement, not to mention visitors from out state. We have done PowerPoint presentations to Senator Egerbretson, MnDOT, Detroit Lakes, City of Alexandria, Douglas County Board of Commissioners. We've submitted a reconstruction proposal and cover letter to Senator Segan. We've done a Survey Monkey to all 1,500 homeowners on the chain, and we have received overwhelming support. And the purpose of doing that is to ground the community, ground the county, and ground the state on the problem and what we propose would be a great solution to enhance the navigation and the safety through this particular channel that's been around since 1956. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you or testify in regards to what we're looking for. And clearly, we think reconstruction would clearly be a great solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loesch. Any closing comments, Representative Franson?
Mr. Chair, thank you and the committee for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Franz. And next up is Representative Bo, House File 1544.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you House File 1544, a bill which is very important to the Southwest Metro. Carver County has been working for many years with the cities of Chanhassen, Chaska, and Victoria to close a 1.5-mile gap in a key component of our county road system. This request will complete the necessary funding for this vital road improvement. County Road 18, when completed, will be a major east-west arterial, providing 2 high schools, 3 communities, several neighborhoods, and the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum with safer driving conditions. With us this morning is Carver County Engineer Lyndon Robgent, who would like to share some important information with us. Mr. Chair, is Mr. Robgent able to share his screen this morning?
Yes, he can. Mr. Robgent, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Chair. My name's Lyndon Robgent. I'm the Carver County Public Works Director. Thank you for the opportunity to give you a brief description of County Road 18 Community Connection Project. As Representative Bowe mentioned, this is a critical connection between the cities of Victoria, Chaska, and Chanhassen. The screen here shows the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum and Highway 5 to the north. Highway 5 to the north here is a two-lane highway that carries more than 25,000 vehicles per day with severe congestion along the corridor. So County Road 18 currently is a gravel road shown in the brown dash here that is about 0.7 miles to the south of Highway 5. So you can imagine without an improvement here, the congestion on Highway 5 will get worse. And what's happening is people are diverting to Highway 5 from these communities when they could just travel straight east-west. There's an elementary school in Victoria and a high school, and there's a high school in Chanhassen. So there are high school drivers that are going east-west every day. So what is the importance of Highway 18? Obviously, as I mentioned, it's a reliever to the regional roadway system. As you know, the state of Minnesota, of MnDOT, is struggling with revenue, and there is no plans to upgrade Highway 5. So the county is taking the lead on improvements in this area. So County Road 18 is a critical community connection between retail areas in downtown Victoria and Chanhassen. Obviously, the high school connection I mentioned with high school drivers going back and forth, as well as an east-west trail corridor that connects on the south side of the Arboretum. It also gives the opportunity for the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum to have a second access. They have 400,000 visitors today, and it's obviously a gem in the metro area for visitors. The issue is that it's a gravel highway. 5,000 trips today are diverting because of the gravel road cannot support the traffic. They're going up to Highway 5, whereas there's already severe congestion, very high crash rates. The issue with 82nd Street or County Road 18 is the lack of local funding source. There is no immediate development occurring in that area, so the cities have no way to pay for their share of the project. Little more background, we did a two-year study of all the transportation corridors in this community, and we looked at traffic needs, safety, transit needs, stormwater management, environmental protection, and ped and bike needs. Obviously, with Highway 5 being so congested, there is an air quality issue, and with this reliever route constructed, that will improve. We came up with a $200 million need over the next 20 years. The county board did adopt the local option sales tax and will be using that funding to improve all of these corridors, including Highway 5. The state investment needed on Highway 5 is about $140 million. And then the county and city has a share in all these projects as well. The issue, of course, is MnDOT only has $15 million committed to Highway 5. The county has $16 million budgeted in CASA funding, and the city has $7 million available for their share of the project. And we have received a grant to date of $10 million from the regional solicitation. So there's a gap of $158 million. The county is going to contribute almost $80 million out of the local option sales tax to that gap, and then we are going to seek future grants, including this request for 82nd Street. So 82nd Street is about a $23 million project. Again, the issue is the $8 million of the city funding is not available. They, as traditionally, fund roadways like this as development happens. There is no development planned on this portion of Chaska until post-2040. And with the Arboretum to the north, there is no funding source for the cities to complete this critical project. The county has a $2 million gap for our share on this project. So we are seeking $10 million in bond proceeds for environmental documentation, property acquisition, design, engineering, and construction of this critical corridor. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Robjen. Representative Bowe, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I would just like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and members for your consideration this morning. As Lyndon mentioned, this is a key component for East-West travel in the county and serving not only local schools, but also local businesses and local residents, local neighborhoods. The 1.5-mile stretch with that gravel stretch and then a half-mile gap with no road at all, this has been a big issue for us safety-wise, and so we are looking forward to moving forward. We have, you know, partners working together, but this is the last piece of funding that we need. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Representative Bowes. So, members, just so you know, we're not going to hear House File 1951 from Representative Ryer since it is a trunk highway bonds project. The bill has been recalled and referred to Transportation Finance. Next up, we have Representative Richardson, House File 2012, and I understand that there's an A1 amendment. Chair Richardson, why don't you just explain the amendment and proceed with your presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment addresses an error and clarifies that the improvements are to 117th Street. House filed 2012 would appropriate $2 million from bond proceeds to fund a grant to the City of Ember Grove Heights to reconstruct and modernize the 117th Street, a major commercial corridor and a busy commuter route. It's also one of the largest hubs of industrial activity in the state, which provides vital goods and services across the state of Minnesota. 117th is badly deteriorated and lacks some basic safety features, which creates road hazards that must be addressed. Today, I have with me Ember Grove Heights Mayor Bartholomew to testify in support of the bill.
Mayor Bartholomew, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony. Chair Richardson, is the mayor on?
He was on.
Yeah.
Yes, he is on.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I apologize.
Please identify yourself. Proceed, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mayor Tom Bartholomew, Ember Grove Heights, I thank you, Chair Lee, for this hearing, and I thank you, committee members, for listening. And I would like to thank House Representative Richardson for her introduction to this project. This project is very important to the city of Ember Grove Heights, as highlighted by Representative Richardson. The 117th Street is truly a transportational corridor of regional significance. It's a huge industry hub. There's a lot of vital industries going in and out. The road is deteriorated very badly. It was first constructed in 1960. Some of the businesses that are involved that use this road a lot, and including the commuters of residents of Rosemont and Egan and Ember Grove Heights, but the businesses included in there in on this road that use this road significantly, Flint Hills Resources, the refinery operation and corporate headquarters are on 117th Street, Xcel Energy and Gas, that service Xcel customers across the entire state, originates from this large facility. Republic Services, BFI, largest trash and disposal operation in the state, is operated known commonly as the Pine Bend Landfill, is on this street. It has regional significance. It's a large-scale gas recovery operation is being developed on this site. Carina Distribution Center, Land O'Lakes Feed, a 60,000-foot facility providing animal food products serving the upper Midwest and beyond. Kane Transportation, a large tanker truck company serving immediate industries and beyond. Kane has 180 employees operating from this facility. Knight Swift Transportation, one terminal on National Transportation Trucking Company with over 14,000 trucks. The access to this road serves these bustling commercial enterprises, and it links 35E with Dakota County 32 and through Highway 52. It's badly deteriorated. The shoulders, it lacks shoulders and turn lanes and rudimentary safety features. It's heavily congested with perhaps the highest ratio of truck traffic in the state for a local road. The road must be upgraded, but local dollars aren't available to deal with the regional changes, such as the two active at-grade railroad crossings. Multiple high-capacity, high-pressure gas lines are in consideration and need to be covered, we need to construct around. And then high-voltage power lines providing energy for the region complicate the local solutions. The estimated total project is $15 million. Our request is $2 million. The project schedule calls for design in 21, right-of-way acquisition and private utility relocation in 22, construction in 23 and 24. I'd like to emphasize, if I could, Chair, the local benefit to the residents. This is a regional transportation corridor for the cities of Emerald Heights, Eagan, and Rosemont. It's a heavily used commute transportation hub, and it would benefit all of the residents of Emerald Heights, Eagan, and Rosemont in their commute to their employment. I thank you for your consideration. I thank you for your time, committee and chair. And I thank you, Representative Richardson, for your help in this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Bartholomew. Chair Richardson, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to present today. And also thank you to Mayor Bartholomew for sharing more with the committee. And I would just ask for support.
Thank you, Chair Richardson. Next up, we have my bill, House File 2174. And so I'll turn this over to Chair Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand that you have an amendment. Reference code is H2174A3. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. And so the A3 amendments looks at the Met Council and their electric bus procurement process, requiring them to submit a report on looking at, you know, why they are identifying electric buses to be purchased or not, and then also requires a report over at the end. The Met Council just went through with a procurement process for biodiesel buses and just looking at that report to make sure that they fully consider other options, you know, whether that's the hybrid buses or, you know, all fully EV buses. And Madam Chair, to the overall bill, it will be to appropriate $2 million from the appropriation bonds for the Met Council to design, install, and equip electrical infrastructure and EV transit vehicle charging station on council-owned property.
Okay. All right. Will you please proceed with your presentation?
So that is my presentation, Chair Murphy. Yep.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions of Representative Lee? Seeing none. Do I see any? I guess not.
Well, thank you, Chair Murphy, and thank you, committee members, for this opportunity to present House File 2174 and appropriating funds to the Met Council for EV buses infrastructure.
All right. Is there any further statements that anyone has to make? If not, this concludes our meeting. The next meeting is Thursday, March 25th at 8:30 a.m., we will hear bonding bills on an informational-only basis related to economic development, safety, and regional assets. This meeting is adjourned.